don't mistake bitterness for righteous indignation. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life. If you are into playing games with God, turn off your radio now. This is a program designed to help beggars tell other beggars where they found bread. Here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, keep it close because I'll be referring to various texts as we go along. We're in the process of a fairly long study on pain and suffering, how a Christian deals with it. A lot of this material is from my book, When Your Rope Breaks, that you can get at your bookstore or from Key Life if you'd like. And no, I don't get royalties for it. That all goes to Key Life. So I'm not hustling books, but a lot of this, although I'm expanding on it quite a bit, is from that book. We're talking about bitterness now. We've talked about the means of grace that God gives us. We've talked about the bad news of pain and suffering and the really good news that we have. Now we're talking about bitterness because it is really a major problem. And I'm talking to two kinds of people. This week, mostly, I've been talking to people where the skies are blue and things are fine. What do you do in order not to be bitter? And then today I'm going to start talking to those of you who are going through difficult times right now. By the way, you know today's Valentine's Day? You say, no, I didn't know that. Well, you owe me now. Get a card and give it to your wife or your girlfriend. And remember that you owe me. Send a generous contribution to Key Life. We saw at the beginning of this week how people say that life is the only school where you take the test and then you learn the lessons. And we saw that sounds good, but it's not altogether true. If things are fine and reasonably copacetic in your life right now, you should make sure of three lessons that you can learn before you get the test. Prayer before the panic, Daniel 6:10. Knowledge before the kickoff, Proverbs 8:15. And then thanks before the tragedy, Ephesians 5:18 through 20. Now, it's very important that you give God thanks to the little bad things, the small bad things, the person who cut you off in traffic, the person who wants to cut you off in a long line at Disney World, and you want to say, I want you to know I'm a Christian, and if you don't give me my place in line, I'm going to pray for your death. And I've been successful with that kind of prayer on three previous occasions. Learn to say, Lord, that turkey just cut me off in traffic. But you told me I was to thank you for that. And so, thank you for cutting me off in traffic. My wife and I were in an accident. And remember, you need to know I'm married to a saint. This woman ran a red light and ran into the front of our car. And I was watching her because I didn't want her to run away. And I was trying to get her license plate. And I was spitting and doing what men do when you're macho and you're in an accident. And I looked over at my wife. She had her head bowed. And she was saying, Lord, don't understand why this happened, but I praise you for it. And I thought, oh, man. But that's so good. Because when really bad stuff happens, learn to be a thankful Christian who thanks God for the little bad things. And when the big bad things, you'll be in an attitude that will make a difference and prevent bitterness. Now, I want to talk to those of you. And, you know, I was going over our prayer list every week. We get just piles of people that ask for us to pray for them, and we pray for them as a staff and as volunteers. And I've gotten about 3 weeks behind this morning, and I'm an early riser, and so I took those three long sheets of people's needs, people that are going through cancer, people are going through broken marriages, people are going through all kinds of addictions, people who are worried about their children. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. And after I'd gone through 3 weeks of requests from listeners who were asking for prayer, prayed for each of them, I just thought, oh, Lord, it's really a bad world, and we really aren't home yet. And so let's assume that you're going through a difficult time right now. Let's talk about that. first, you ought to recognize the horrible effect of bitterness. At least know what it can do to you. You've heard that bitterness only hurts the one who is bitter. It does, but it doesn't stop there. A person's bitterness infects everyone who comes into contact with him or her. You remember Gollum in Tolkien's trilogy, The Lord? Did you see that movie? Was that cool or what? I was afraid to go see The Lord of the Rings because I love those books so much. I mean, those are the kind of books that you read and you think about the rest of your life. And I thought, if I go to this movie and it's bad, I'm gonna die. I mean, they'll ruin those books for me for the rest of my life. And I'm an old guy, and I don't want my latter years to be bitter because some twit messed up a movie. So I sent Eric, our producer. He came back and said, man, it is so good. I can't tell you. So I went to see Lord of the Rings. And Gollum, we didn't get to see a lot of him in this first one. There are going to be three of these movies. We didn't see the first one, a lot of Gollum. But Gollum had once touched the ring, but he lost it. And that whole event ruined his life. And he became a pitiful, bitter, hateful creature. And towards the end of the trilogy, Sam and Frodo are on their way to destroy the ring when Gollum attacks them. In the scene, you can see the stark reality of bitterness depicted in terms of demon possession, selfishness, and destruction. Gollum is about to lose the ring forever, and his hatred knows no bounds. Now, I'm going to quote Tolkien here. A sudden weight smote him, and he crashed forward, tearing the backs of his hands that still clasped his master's. Then he knew what had happened, for above him, as he lay, he heard a hated voice. Wicked masters, it hissed. Wicked master, teach us. Gollum, mustn't go that way, mustn't hurt precious. Give it to me, yes, give it to us. Give it to us. With a violent heave, Sam rose up. At once he drew his sword, but he could do nothing. Gollum and Frodo were locked together. And then it goes on, and I'd love to read that whole scene to you, but I don't have time. And I don't think everybody likes it as much as I do. But bitterness is often just pictured in literature like that. Bitterness is sometimes by really religious people called righteous indignation, demanding one's rights or legitimate anger. But it's none of those things. It is black, it's horrible, debilitating disease, and it will kill you and others. You remember Homer's Odyssey when Ulysses and his men were sailing past the island of the two sirens who sang the song of death? He had his men place wax in their ears and strap him to the mast so he would enjoy the siren song. Come here, they sang, renowned, honor, and listen to our two voices. No one ever sailed past us without staying to hear the enchanting sweetness of our song. And he who listens will go on his way not only charmed but wiser, for we know all the ills that the gods have laid on us and Trojans before Troy, and can tell you everything that is going to happen over the whole world. They sang these words most musically, and as I longed to hear them further, I made signs by frowning to my men that they should set me free, but they quickened their stroke. They bound me with still stronger bonds till we had got out of the hearing of the sirens' voices. Then my men took the wax from their ears, and they unbound me. Bitterness is like that song. It's attractive. I mean, you know, if I've been done in by somebody else, I've been praying about a trial of a friend's father that's taking place right now because he wants justice. His business was taken from him, and it's been a really hard time, but he hasn't been bitter, not one second. But it'd be so easy to just be drawn to it and say, it's my right. They have violated my rights. It is so sweet to think of it. And it makes you feel good, but it is dangerous. It's a viper. So if your rope's broken and you're going through a difficult time, make sure you recognize that the Bible warns against the horror of bitterness, and then with an act of your will, say, I reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. Another thing to do when you when you're going through a difficult time and you haven't prepared before it happened, confess your tendency toward bitterness. Confess the reality of your nature to God. Tell him that you are ticked and that you want to be bitter. Even tell him that you think you have a right to be bitter. Then ask for his forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is not only good for the soul, but also for the attitude. In my, I may have told you this before, in my prayer list, I have a special section called my hit list. I determine to confess before God those people and incidents that make me angry and bitter. The more I confess and pray about those incidents, the smaller the list becomes. No one is on that list right now because I'm willing to confess the problem before the Father and allow him to do what I can't do, remove the bitterness. So don't pretend you're so righteous. You're not. Don't pretend you're so spiritual. You're not. Jesus had to die for you too. So when you're bitter and you're angry and you even think that you have a right to be bitter and angry, know what God says, confess it before him, and ask for his grace. And he'll give it to you. I promise. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have the booklet that we're offering this month, I'd love to send it to you. Does My Father Know I'm Hurt? It's an excerpt from my book and the current teaching these weeks on Key Life. And if you're going through a difficult time or have a friend going through a difficult time, you might want to ask for this. We'll send it to you free. You can do it by calling 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And ask for the booklet, Does My Father Know I'm Hurt? We'll send it to you free. But that doesn't mean it didn't cost us anything to produce it. Because a few people, and it's a very small percentage of people who benefit from this ministry, are able to help us financially. They are champions. I want you to pray about it. If you could be a champion, help us with just a little bit or a lot, I would appreciate it. For any contribution of any size, I'll send you the cassette teaching, A Way to Measure Your Life, a New Year's Examination. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, included in your envelope, and I will be so appreciative. And Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.